just reading book, like reading a book and really feeling the weight of, like, I mean, understanding God, understanding faith more through reading books, or it could just be through, like, talking with friends or small groups. So we have such a range of different experiences, right? Like, it'll be actually quite interesting to just go across the room and hear what kind of things that you went through. And so all of these experiences, whether that's little or very high, heightened, all of these experiences have made or kind of formed the way we think about life, the way we think about our faith. But I think what's core and central in all of these experiences is its connection to Christ, right? It can be a camp, it can be fun and a lot of like huge group, like I remember, or like the fat camp, or it could be just a quiet encounter, quiet experience. And I know from reading about other people's biographies that some people come to know more about God or have more faith because of books, or just sometimes just a conversation and things make sense. None of the glamour, none of the great fun things like camp. It could just be reason. I remember reading about a theologian who just found the gospel to be just compelling out of reason, like reasoning, right? So we have all these different, or it could be worship through worship sessions, singing songs, that you get a deeper connection with Christ. We could all have different experiences, but I think at the core of all that is that through all of this, we are connected to Christ. We feel we gain a deeper connection with Christ through camps, through reading books, through Bible, whatever it is. And I thought it's timely that today's text, today's parable, is the parable of the vine, the true vine that we see in John chapter 15. So I'm going to just read that first, and then we will reflect on the text. I'm going to read the first part of John chapter 15. It says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the parable, the metaphor, the imagery is quite simple. We have the image of a vine that is connected to the branches that are connected to the vine, the main vine. And the ability of these branches to bear fruit is dependent on whether they're connected to the main branch, right? Such a simple imagery, but I think it speaks quite profoundly to the need for us to remain connected to the main branch, which is Jesus Christ. Of course, thinking about this metaphor made me think about something called the living root bridge. And this is a bit of a story from my place in Northeast India. This is this place called Living Root Bridge. It's in the state of Meghalaya, just north of Bangladesh, one of the rainiest places in the world. These roots become bridge, but they have been like designed, or they have been guided by like the villagers in this place. And these are roots that are living. They are still connected to the tree, and so they're living. They are not dead wood just piled together. They are living. They're living roots, and it takes decades to form like some of these weavings, right? And so you can imagine this bridge. It would be 100 years. Centuries old, right? And so what's fascinating about these bridges is that, of course, that it's still living, it's still connected to the tree, but also that it involves no, like, they're all living things, right? Of course, there are some dead bamboo thrown here and there, but otherwise they are all living beings, right? And my thought went to this because Yes, the vine imagery also talks about being connected to the living thing, but there's also the intergeneration thing going on here. If you see a bridge here, you know that 2-3 generations have worked on this bridge. It's not just made overnight or even a week. It's been made over hundreds of years. People working together, their children and their grandchildren working together to form a bridge like this. I thought this picture captures it quite nicely. There's like kids walking, this is the next generation, and we hope they continue to keep this legacy, building this something living, something connected to the tree, and benefits the community. A lot of people who study this say that it's not just for humans, there's like it forms ecosystems within these corners, and there are increases the biodiversity, all of this stuff. If that's your interest, I think these are really interesting things that that's going on there. So my thought went to this imagery of the living roots, the roots that are still connected to the tree and they're still alive, but they're being used for a purpose to benefit the society or the community. Of course, we can go back to this imagery of the vine. The vine imagery is quite meaningful because, as I mentioned, it shows that the branch need to be connected to the main branch, right, in order to bear fruit. But also look at how complex the entanglings are. If you have to go and trace every branch, it'll be a major headache, right? Like, I don't know if anyone would have the time or energy or patience to do that. They are so entangled that we don't know which branch is which. Is it connected to that branch? But what we can know is which branch are alive and connected. Because if there's a branch that's dying out, it probably means that they are not connected anymore to the main branch, right? So the way to tell if a branch is alive or not is to see whether they are still living and they're still bearing fruit. To bear fruit is a sign that they are in that mess somewhere. They are still connected to the main branch, the living branch. And so this is a metaphor that's quite meaningful. That speaks to us, and if I may tie it to this metaphor as well, that goes beyond our generation, in which there are different generations who are working together to make this alive, this living thing. It's a community. It's that doesn't happen overnight. That takes shape, and that's ultimately bounded by a single common thing, which is that they are connected to the main branch. And in this metaphor, the branch of Jesus. So I think it's quite an interesting thing to think about. And I would like to lead us into reflecting on this first line of this passage, John chapter 15, I am the true vine. And I think reflecting on this phrase helps us to realize why it is important that we remain connected to the main branch, which is Jesus. So first, let's look at I am. Okay, I am the main branch. I am the true vine. I am. Now, I am is a very rich phrase in the Bible. There are some statements, right, that you probably know as well, that are meaningful beyond its literal meaning. I can give you some examples. For example, I have a dream, right? I think most of us, we all know where that comes from. If someone appeals to, I have a dream in a speech, they are kind of flagging up, linking to the speech by Martin Luther Jr. King, Martin Luther King Jr., the iconic speech, right, about freedom, right? Speaking of freedom, my connection to Scotland before I came to Scotland was the phrase freedom. You're all smiling, so I think you know the connection. Like, that's all I knew about Scotland, William Wallace shouting freedom with his face painted blue. But freedom, like, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when that word stands by itself, freedom. Or say phrases like, another phrase would be, I think, therefore I am. Like, we all know that statement is made by a particular philosopher, a French philosopher, and it's to talk about who we are as thinking beings. So if there's other like off branches of statements like, I eat, therefore I am, or I love, therefore I am, they are kind of hinting to the original statement, right? Another one is keep calm and carry on, which were pamphlets or posters printed during the Second World War for public morale, apparently, when the bombing was going on in London. And so there are statements that have meaning, and I think we need to recognize that I am is also a rich phrase, so simple, but for the Jewish people, I am has a lot of meaning. And it comes from Exodus chapter 3, in which Moses, the leader of the Israelite people, he encounters God in a burning bush. And God tells him that your people, they are suffering, they're slaves in Egypt, they have cried out to me, and I'm going to send you, Moses, to go and rescue them, to tell the Pharaoh, let my people go and rescue them out of Egypt. Moses was not convinced. He said, if I go and tell them, and if they ask me, who sent you? What is the name of this being or deity, God who sent you? God said to Moses, you tell them, I am who I am sends you. I am sends you. So I am is a phrase that's connected to God, the creator God, the God of the Israelites. It's connected to the God who rescued them, who is literally the foundation of the identity as the Israelite people, the people of God. Exodus itself, this moment, or the events that followed from here, parting of the Red Sea, escape from Egypt, all of that are formative events in their history. And so I am is a phrase that's loaded with that meaning, that this is a God who identifies himself as I am, right? It refers to the identity of God. So when Jesus uses I am the vine, he is connecting to that statement. In some sense, some scholars, some theologians who study these texts like this, they say that Jesus is, in effect, equating himself with God. He's saying that I am God. I am the true vine. He's connecting himself with God the Father, one with God the Father. In fact, if you follow the book of John, there are other I am statements. There are at least seven of them that's listed here in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Again and again, he uses this phrase, this well-known phrase, I am, to talk about himself, effectively saying that he is God. And of course, if you look at John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father, God, is the gardener. So God is involved in this. He is the one who's the gardener, guiding and pruning and leading this this garden. So why is it important to be connected to Jesus? Because he is the I am God. He is not just another leader. He is not just another inspiring personality. He's even greater than Moses, their hero. He is greater than their prophets, Elijah. He is one with God. And so it is important, as he's making the statement here, I am the true vine. I am the I am God, the God who is not only the foundation of your identity, but the one who rescued you and the one who is God over the nation. And the Father is the gardener. The Father is also involved in this garden. And so this reestablishes the importance, how crucial it is to be connected to the vine of Jesus, because he is the God. But there's also another part of the phrase, I am the true vine. Why is Jesus talking about why is he calling himself the true vine? I think it's important to understand this metaphor, this parable, in the context of the history of the Israelites. In the Old Testament, Israel was often regarded as the wicked vine, the bad vine, the vine that produced bad fruits. And so a number of them here that I'm referring to, but Isaiah chapter 5, it says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but sow bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Ezekiel chapter 15, he talks about Jerusalem being a useless vine that's cut down and burned. Ezekiel 19, he goes on to lament or to speak sadly about this uprooted vineyard that is useless and has to be burned. So repeatedly in the Old Testament, there's a bad vine. There's a bad vine that produces bad fruit. And Israel, the people of God, has been unfaithful to God. They have committed idolatry, spiritual adultery. They have exploited the poor among them. There's deep corruption in their society. So in this history of bad vine, Jesus calls himself the good vine, the true vine. In this history of bad fruits, Jesus calls himself the vine that produces the good fruit. Jesus is reversing. If you keep reading John 15, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, but because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." So Jesus here is reversing the history of bad vine, bad fruits. And he's promising them as the good vine, as the true vine, and saying that he has shown his love for the people. He has shown his love by being obedient, but also to the point of laying down his life for the people. He's much more superior than Moses and all of the other greats in the history of the Israelites, and he shows it by laying down his life for the people. And not just that, he empowers and he enables the people to also bear good fruits. Unlike the bad fruits, unlike the bad branches of the Israelites who repeatedly were unfaithful, who repeatedly bore bad fruits, unlike that history, Jesus promises good fruits for those who remain connected to him. He shows that in his example, by the example of his love for his people, he laid down his life for his people. And he's a true vine where all the other vines have failed. He's the one who loved us and sacrificed himself for us. So, and this is the reason why when he says, "I am the true vine," in this short sentence, he packs in all of that meaning, that he is the I am God. He's not just another prophet that's a good famous prophet. He is the true and great I am. And he's the true vine, unlike the bad branches that they have revealed to be from history. Jesus says that if you remain connected to me, you will bear fruits. Just a quick reflection on fruits. What does it mean to bear fruit? And I think you can pick any of these, and you might think that this is the fruit, like fruit of the Spirit, for example, or to be involved in mission, to have people who turn to Jesus, to witness to Jesus, to the world. But I think all of them are part of the fruit that comes from putting our faith in Jesus. The things that we sang just some time ago about forgiveness, about grace, experiencing God's love, all those are fruit of our faith. And Jesus says that if we remain connected to him, the true vine, these fruits are assured that we will get the fruits in our lives. We'll bear fruit, we will have fruitful lives if we are connected to Jesus. Now again, put this in contrast to the history of bad branches, bad vines. Like God's people, if you see in the Old Testament, it's a history of failure. It's a history of unfaithfulness, of being unable to bear these fruits of faithfulness, bear fruits of character, bear fruits of justice. And yet Jesus promises us and says that if you, that is probably because they are linked to the wrong vine, the vine that's not good. In contrast, if you are linked to the true vine, Jesus, we can be assured of these fruits of the vine. So, in conclusion, I want to think of a few implications. What does it mean? How do we remain connected to Jesus? If Jesus is the true vine, how do we remain connected to him? And I would like to suggest hardly the complete list, but this is where we can start. How we remain connected to Jesus is, I think, first of all, through the Word of God. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to stay connected with Jesus, we can't go to Jerusalem because he's not there. We can't literally go and follow him wherever he goes because he's not physically with us today. But we have the Word of God, first of all, that reveals who Jesus is, reveals what kind of a person he was, what he loved, what he hated. So we have in the Word of God the revelation of Jesus, if you like. But on a more broader sense, we have in not just the New Testament, which talks about Jesus, but we have the entire Bible, which reveals to us God, I am God, the I am God. It reveals to us what kind of a God he is, that he's a God of justice, he's a God of truth, he's a God of righteousness. And so we have in the Bible the stories and the testimonies of people through which we can know and we can follow God and understand what kind of a person he is. So the Word of God obviously is important because of that reason, that it reveals to us not just Jesus, the man, the God and man, but also God, the I am God. And I found that most often sermons on this text would end there, like the Word of God. And you focus on that, you do your devotions, and that's it. But I feel like that's it's a shame if we just leave it there. I think we follow Christ, we're connected to Christ, not only through the Word of God, but also through the body of Christ, the church, the community of believers. And in that sense, we have the local church. Not that we are perfect, not that we have got all the answers, but that we, in all our humility, Jesus calls this body of believers as his body, the body of Christ, his church. And so we can remain connected to Jesus through the body of Christ, through first the local church, but also again through the community of faithful believers through history. Think about 100 years, 200 years, 300 years ago, Christians who lived then, how did they understand God? And I think it's crucial. Now, we don't all have to read the books, but I think it's crucial we understand that our faith is not just me and our own community here today. It's a faith that reaches beyond, through history in the past thousands of years. And so we from reading these books, from reflecting on how they understood what faith was, we are connected to Jesus. We get a deeper sense of who Jesus is. Also, the community of faith across the globe, not just Edinburgh, but Christians in India, Christians in Africa, in China, in the US. And so there's that rich knowledge that we can learn about Christ through the body of Christ. This is the physical, this is the spiritual body of Christ that we have today in this world. Again, it's not to say that we are perfect, but this is the calling that Christ has put on us as a church, as people of faith, to be his body in this world. And thirdly, to remain connected to Jesus is also to obey, to be obedient in the world. Not just obedient in our church, in our short time of worship or devotion, but out in the world. The Word of God needs to be lived out, needs to be followed and obeyed in the world. we need to practice our faith, love, patience, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, all of that we practice in the world, and that is how we remain connected to Jesus through our lives and through our practices as well. So I think what the parable today encourages us is that if God is the gardener, his desire for us is to bear fruits. His desire for us is to bear the fruits of faith, all the range of things that we have listed earlier. And maybe we struggle in that. We struggle and we look at ourselves and we might think, wait, I feel like I'm not able to bear these fruits of faith. Maybe the warning here is maybe we are connected to the wrong vine. Maybe we need to reconnect ourselves to Christ. Maybe we're connected to our own strength, you can fill in the blanks, right? Maybe we're connected to other things. Maybe the call here in this parable is to remain connected to the main branch. And in all of the tangle that we perhaps think of life, if we are connected to Christ, regardless of how tangled it may look, we can still bear fruit, the fruit of our faith. Now, the fruit is a promise. If we remain connected, it's not for us to force and get fruits out by our own doing. The fruit is a promise of being connected to Christ. Our calling is to be connected to Christ, and when we are connected to Christ, we will bear fruits. And so, regardless of our experiences, regardless of whether you think of your faith journey as like the camp or like the quiet faith or more out there in the world or more in the church, regardless of all of that, let us remember that the core, the important thing is to be connected to Jesus. Through the Word of God, through the body of Christ, to obedience in the world, because I am the true vine. He is the I am God, much greater than the prophets, much greater than the priest. He is the true God who promises us fruit, unlike the bad vines of the history of the Israelites. He's a true vine that promises us good fruit. So let us commit to be people of the kingdom. And by that, we mean let us commit to be people who remain connected to the true vine, people who are connected to Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for this great privilege that you call us to be connected to you, to your Son. We thank you for the lifeline that he offers to us. In this world, Lord, we are surrounded by distractions. We're surrounded by things that draw our attention away. Even in the middle of that, O Lord, help us to be mindful of you, to think of you, and to follow you in the various aspects and walks of our life. We thank you for this reminder. We thank you that in the tangle of life, we can still bear fruit because we lean on you and we can connect to you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.